You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am talking with Zanisha Sirik, the executive director, and Ryan McMakin, the artistic director of the Savannah Music Festival, about guess what? It's the 2026 Savannah Music Festival, which is from March 25th through April 5th at various locations around Savannah. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Zanisha and Ryan.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me, Dave. This is always a fun conversation.
So, let's get to know Zanisha a little bit. You've been on the show before, but in another capacity, and that is over at the Savannah Philharmonic.
Yes, I was general manager for Savannah Philharmonic before joining Savannah Music Festival back in June of 25. And I've been around Savannah for a pretty long time at this point. I started playing with the Philharmonic back in 2010, and then, you know, through the years, definitely a love for Savannah and everything that Savannah has to offer grew, and I decided to move my family to Savannah in 2016 and come here and just enjoy everything that Hostess City has to offer in many ways.
And so why the move over from the Philharmonic?
So this definitely was not a plan that I had in my mind, but as life goes, we kind of tend to plan things, but then they take a turn. And if you're observing your opportunities and things that happen because of some other circumstances, and if you're just aware of that surrounding, I think that, you know, people can take much more advantage of that and be courageous and jump into something that maybe you have not expected to come your way. I saw myself definitely more into maybe orchestral management. That was a decision I made consciously, and definitely thought I'm going to stay in that realm. And I really enjoyed working for the Philharmonic and being part of the Philharmonic and integral part of the Philharmonic. I still hold the Emeritus Concertmaster title, and I'm still connected, and my heart will always be with the Philharmonic. But then this opportunity presented itself, and decided to put my name in the hat. And first and foremost was that I wanted to stay in Savannah and didn't want to move for career decisions. So that was the blessing that came as this opportunity.
And what is the role of the executive director?
All in this business where, you know, my role here is not simply to be, you know, responsible for fiscal and organizational, you know, structure and sustainability and all that comes with it. But it's also, you know, just giving a tone to an organization that has such a great history and tradition behind. And we are looking into, you know, celebrating 40 years of the festival in 2029. So I always felt that this transition for me as a professional musician would be to bring a breath of artistic vision as well to the festival. And, you know, I'm really, you know, leaning a lot on Ryan's, you know, experience and expertise and an amazing ability that he has to put this incredible puzzle together. So we're kind of working together, and I'm more of a partner to do this on that side of things. And then, of course, you know, you get pulled into some of the marketing decisions, some of the visual representation of the festival, and some of the educational initiatives that we have. So it's just a little bit of everything, but I feel like I'm contributing in a way that I'm a good bouncing board for the conversations that we already have so much success in those departments that, you know, my opinion is just one off. And it's definitely not a deciding factor where I say this is going to be like I say it's going to be, but it's definitely a conversation that I'm trying to influence with my personal feelings about where I think the festival should go.
And so let's dive into the festival itself. Yeah. And the festival begins on Wednesday, March 25th. Well, I'll put it in the context of there's really four areas of the festival. There is the classical programming, there's the jazz programming, there's the American Roots programming, and the Global Roots programming. And we start off right off the bat with the American Roots and with classical on the 25th.
Mm-hmm. And some jazz.
And some jazz.
Yeah, Stefan Harris and Blackout.
Oh, right.
But our first event is the result of a new collaboration with the Hilton Head International Piano Competition. And so their first prize winner, Jonathan Mamora, is giving a recital. This is kind of hooked into our relationship also with Steinway. We've been, you know, a big part of programming is to look at emerging artists as well as sort of master musicians in every genre that we present. And in this case, we have a few different relationships coming up. Another one is the American Piano Awards, who we've just for years have been presenting people who have won their both their jazz and classical. They alternate every year and a half. But like Sullivan Fortner, Aaron Deal, Drew Peterson. So we're formalizing that relationship. So next season we'll have one of their first prize winners in recital. But Jonathan's a wonderful young pianist, and he'll be doing a master class too for local piano students. And then Stefan Harris and Blackout. He's never played the festival. This is an incredible band led by a mallet player, vibraphonist, and marimba. And Christian Sands is on piano, Alicia Latuja is on the vocalist. It's a new version of the band because they've had some changes in personnel over the past year. They're doing a master class with our Jazz Academy students that day. So it's a really full day. And then Larkin Poe, I've never played the festival as Larkin Poe, but they did play as the Lovell Sisters in 2009 when they were a bluegrass band. But they've had a ton of success as a blues rock band, and they're touring this spring with Government Mule on a co-bill, but we have them just for a standalone show at the Lucas.
Well, and not only are Alicia Altuja and Christian Sands part of the Stefan Harris and Blackout group, yeah, on Wednesday the 25th, we also will see them at the Kehoe Ironworks on Thursday, March 26th, mm-hmm, as part of the New Dirty program.
Yeah, that's a lucky one. So totally different material, and the two started working on duo projects this past season. They've, in recent memory, worked together, I think maybe the last 8 years. This will be a really great intimate piano and voice program.
Yeah. And just to remind people, the classical music programming, as in Jonathan Mamora, who, by the way, also was a competitor at the Clyburn competition in Texas this year, too.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's funny, we ran into them recently, the Clyburn folks, and they're starting to represent some artists in addition to doing what they do with that amazing competition. And they said, wait, we're the only ones who aren't working with what's happening. So you might see a Clyburn winner here in the next little while. They really always, you know, have amazing pianists coming through that.
As often we hear the jazz in the Kehoe Ironworks, and that's where Stefan Harris and Blackout will be, and Larkin Poe will be at the Lucas Theater.
Yeah,
I think we are really, you know, proud to this year present shows at 10 different venues around town. We added some new venues that are definitely venues that are going to hopefully bring us some new audience, and that was a conversation we had as the season was being put together, how we maybe attract some audiences that come to venues for different performances, and how do we incorporate them through those venues into performances that the festival is doing. So we're actually, after many years of not presenting at the cathedral, We're going to start small this year by presenting a concert at the Regina Celli, the newly renovated chapel underneath the main sanctuary. And then we're going to be at the Soto, which is completely new to us as a venue. And we're going to go back again after many years to the Nices Auditorium at the Jepson Museum. So we're kind of mixing up, especially on the classical side of things. And that's why I'm mentioning, I think we diversified the performance venues for the classical series, I think, this year, quite a lot.
And doing more at Victory North. We have four concerts over there, which is a great club and good production and a good format for a lot of the things we produce. I was going to mention about, before we get completely off Wednesday, we have a showcase of local student bands from 3 o'clock to, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, 7? I think so. It's going to be a long day.
For the opening day at MLK Park in Plant Riverside. So that's a completely free event, but showcasing a variety of ensembles, not just bands.
And is that at the stage there, outside stage?
Exactly, yeah, right there in between the hotel and District Live.
So, I've already mentioned, moving on to Thursday, March 26th, that is a very, very active day and incorporates all of the four parts of the festival's programming. Mm-hmm. And it starts off, as I mentioned, at 12:30 at the noon 30 program at the Kehoe Iron Works with Alicia Olatuja and Christian Sands, and they're again at 12:30. Then at 6 p.m. we have Mike Marshall returning to the festival along with Alexandro Pinesi, and this is part of the Global Roots.
Yeah, it's a Brazilian duo that Mike's involved in, and Alessandro is an incredible guitarist. He's bringing him in for the Omni Guitar Festival in the West Coast, so we, you know, our relationship with Mike knew about that and wanted to bring him to the East Coast first, and hoping we can get, he'll have his mandocello too, and we can get him. He's been working on all the Bach cello suites and recording those. It'd be pretty great to hear in the hall, I think, because it's an amazing instrument, and his understanding of the work and sort of interpretation because of the fingerings, it's pretty cool to watch. But Regina Celli is such a cool hall. It's a place that Sunisha had worked before, and we went down for a site visit. It was clear this is somewhere where acoustic music of all forms can exist and be really unreinforced, good detail, good resonance in the room. So we're excited to do something. You know, we've had a classical concert there, but this is all Brazilian music for the most part.
Yeah, and I think that space and collaboration with the cathedral is going to grow beyond and in years that you know, to come. We cannot spill all the beans, but we're definitely thinking about growing that collaboration in the future. Mm-hmm. And as I was joking about, you know, working our way from the basement up into the sanctuary, so we're going to start there. But the idea is to at some point go back to the sanctuary.
Well, and that you've also had a trio concert earlier in the year there at the Regina Celli.
Mm-hmm. Cold night in January.
Yep, and it worked beautifully. I actually, the first time I heard the piano in that space, because I performed there, you know, it's just as a part of a string ensemble and a string quartet. But, you know, I just really felt, you know, really good. And, you know, the piano trio just sounded amazing, and there is so much detail and just nuance that can be performed in that space. So, you know, we're looking forward to have those type of programs there, you know, in the future.
And then at 7 p.m. is Lone Bellow out at the North Garden Assembly Room of the Ships of the Sea Museum in the American Roots category.
Yeah, good to be back at Ships of the Sea, and we actually, for whatever reason, have more American roots there than anything this year. A lot of shows that fit that setting. It's a little more casual, a lot of seating, you know, for everybody, but also you can stand and hang out outside in that beautiful garden.
Yeah, but it's an outdoor space that's covered. So,
exactly.
You know, you can really work with maybe even inclement weather to a certain extent, so the shows are kind of you know, happening in the outdoor setting, but you're not really...
Not really outdoors.
Yeah, not really outdoors. Yeah.
And that raises another question about organization. And I know last year you switched the layout of the ship, of the Keio Center, yeah.
We're going back to a wide form, you know, the way we had been doing it. But we're still going to keep a separate lounge area inside the room to allow for a little more of that kind of casual nature of presentation. Completely separate from the concert area, but have everything under one roof. It's a lot easier for flow.
Just say that this is a testament to the ever-evolving approach to how we use the venues, because we don't really work in performance venues for the most part. These are all repurposed places, basically, that we turn into the performance venues, which is the, you know, really the mission and the beauty of the festival, that you enjoy the architecture and the components of the city of Savannah, basically. And then we come in and just, you know, turn it around and make a show in there. So we're always going to be tweaking. This is not a setup that's going to stay for sure for next year. It just depends also what type of shows we're bringing in there.
Exactly.
So I think it's just that flexibility that we have is, you know, really giving us options, you know, to always stay fresh. And when we bring people in, it might seem, oh, this is different from last year. But then, you know, next year is going to be something a little bit different. So I think it really gives people a good, solid kind of chance to see us always kind of looking for better ways to present our shows.
Well, and it gives it a more relaxed environment. And I have to tell you, I like my Jameson with my jazz.
Yeah.
And occasionally you'll even have the classical music over there. I'm not sure if you're doing that any this season.
This year we're going to do something actually at DeSoto in the Oglethorpe Ballroom. There'll be a little more of that casual setting with bar and everything else. We're not doing it at Keio this year. Next year we'll be in 2027. We'll be in the Morris Center again, which has been quite, you know, many years since we've been up there, and it's a favorite of a lot of SMF patrons because it's so intimate. Mm. It sounds really good. You're really right in front of everything. So we'll be in the Morris and Keio, just to throw that
and
out there.
The beauty of it, that they actually can literally go from one show with a 15-minute break and just go down the hill.
Yeah.
It's probably easier than go uphill, but we'll think of that.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll definitely be utilizing both spaces.
And at 7:30, again on March 26th, is Richard Thompson returning to the festival.
Yeah, Richard Thompson. Unmistakable sound and just an unbelievable songwriter and guitarist. It's hard not to, when he tours in this season, to try to jump on that. So we're excited too, because we have a young artist who's, I think she's just 19 now, Marion Bradley, who we learned about in the process of looking at the festival and kind of looking at where we could fit her. But she's Northern Ireland based and no, she's from Ireland. I'm sorry, not Northern. But regardless, she plays country blues, and she grew up with it with her father. And she's a really great fingerstyle player, and her voice is amazing. So it's kind of a big night for her to open for the great Richard Thompson. And it'll be fun to see. Yeah.
And just to kind of piggyback on what Ryan just said, basically who the festival is in essence, you know, we find this young talent and that is just kind of working their way up, and then you pair them with somebody who's, you know, such a legend in the own right, and then hopefully in years to come we have that young talent come back to us and you know, really bring the festival to another level with each performance that they, and that's been proven recipe for the festival for over 30 years now. It's been going on with the same passion for discovering talent.
And then at 8:30 on that same day, Thursday, March 26th, is Tank and the Bangas. And that will be up here in Victory North. And I say up here because tonight we're in the offices of the Savannah Music Festival, which is in the Starland District of Savannah, and that's where Victory North is.
Yeah. we're super happy that our move from downtown, for many reasons, was, you know, really successful. For us, at least, we don't have to worry about parking for staff, because we do have a parking here. But coming to Starland is also so much in line with where we kind of see festival going in next 3 to 4 years, kind of connecting more with the younger audiences, and Starland being really the center of hip and kind of a music scene for Savannah in many ways, younger families, and just the whole vibe, very, very artsy. And we just love to be in the center of where the things are happening.
And in terms of individual tickets, there are some different ways to celebrate the festival this year.
There are, yeah. This year we went its wristband program. Everything but the Lucas Theater concerts and the Robert Cray concert at the Trustees is general admission. So we thought, looking programming for Thursday through Saturday, and buy that wristband that you can go from one to another. Because you see, on some of these days we have 7 concerts, and only one of which is at the Lucas. So you're able to bounce around and see portions of different shows. So a lot of people took advantage of that. We'll also have, I think, 3 different sites throughout sort of the walkable area of the primary area of the historic district, where you can stop in and have hospitality zones and things like
enjoy that. Enjoy the perks of the wristband program.
Exactly.
Well, and the wristband program is sort of directed toward the weekends.
Exactly. Yeah, you can do a 2-day or a 3-day.
Or a whole both weekends together in one package. And that's definitely something we'll love to explore more and learn from the experiences, because this is the first year we're doing it, and we'll lean heavily on the feedback from our wristband concert goers this year round, and we'll love to learn more on how to improve it, how to make it better, and how to make it more interesting, and kind of lean heavily into that for the next year. Because we believe that's the best way to actually experience the festival, when you can hop from show to show and not have to worry about do you have a ticket or not.
And the 3-day wristband for the first weekend starts on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so most of the programming here, with the exception of the Richard Thompson, is wristband accessible.
Yes.
Yes, all the shows would be on your wrist. And you can just come to the doors and just walk in once you get your wristband scanned. And that means you can, maybe leave a little early from one show to make it to another, because the whole idea is to see as many concerts as possible. So.
And there is another little symbol here for the Tank and the Bangas concert that appears throughout the brochure.
Yeah, standing and dancing.
Ah.
It's both an encouragement, if you like that kind of concert, and a warning if you don't. But might be hard to find a seat. It doesn't mean there aren't seats over at Victory North. We actually have mezzanine tickets available, and then seats around the balcony. But just for people who are wanting those, it's important to show up on time, because it's kind of a first-come, first-served.
And for wristband access, it's floor. The same room only?
Yeah, that's right.
So we move on then to Friday, March 27th, and it begins with American Roots.
Yeah. 2 great duos, Caleb Clowder and Reed Wilms, who are Pacific Northwest based, but both current members of the Foghorn String Band, and they'll be playing the sound of kind of classic country tunes. They write all their own music, but it's mainly guitar and mandolin and great harmonies. And Dirk and Amelia are a father-daughter duo. Dirk being a Kentucky-born but very much Louisiana-centered person. So he grew up on Kentucky fiddle tunes, but then he played Cajun music. He was in Dolphin Toujours, was once married to Christine Dolphin. And he's a great producer. He produced all kinds of things, worked with Rhiannon Giddens a bunch, toured with Joan Baez. So all these, I first met him when he was playing a duo with Tim O'Brien. And so he's just got this, one of the sort of most wide-ranging palettes in American folk and traditional music. So you'll hear some Cajun music, some fiddle tunes from Appalachia, And again, really the great familial harmonies, because his daughter Amelia's no slouch either.
And that is at 4 and 7:30 p.m., yep. And that's at the Kehoe Ironworks. And then at the North Garden Assembly Room of the Ships of the Sea Museum is Global Roots.
It is, yeah. Dobe Nahore from Ivory Coast. So this is really upbeat, kind of Afropop. So if you're an Angelique Kidjo fan, this is something that will be up your alley. But real high-energy performer and festival debut.
And then at 8 p.m. at the Lucas Theater, we have Pat Metheny with his Side Eye 3 Plus.
Yeah, and that's a legend that basically think headlining from this year's festival, and we have one more show that you will mention later on. But Pat Metheny is someone that just does not need introduction in many ways. It's just the super familiar name in the world of jazz and fusion, and so happy that we were able to bring him to Savannah.
And the evening closes with the infamous String Dusters at Victory North at 8:30.
Great. They played the festival several years. I think the last time was 23 with Sierra Hull. In my mind, for the, say, jam band and bluegrass, they're the best instrumentalists in the field. And they've been at, this is their 20th year playing together. And I think they were here maybe in year two, playing an opening party that we used to do these season announcement concerts, and they played over at Morris Center when it was just opened. We just saw the bass player Travis Book. He played at our house concert in Palmetto Bluff with a totally different band, Casey Dreesen, and it was the Shannon Whitworth and Woody Platt band. He's excited to come back. But yeah, it's amazing. They've been at it for 20 years, and they're really great.
And of course, that is American Roots. And just as a reminder, the American Roots and the Global Roots concerts on this evening are all part of the wristband. And if you want to get up and dance, you have a nice Global Roots and then the infamous String Dusters to get up and dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's, in an essence, in one day, what the festival is capable of producing, you know. So you have a legend, you have, you know, Global Roots, performer that you otherwise would not hear. This festival was not able to present a concert like that here. And I always invite people to, you know, be a little more courageous and get out of their comfort zone, you know, stumble or walk in into the hole not knowing what they're going to hear. And they, 9 out of 10 times, are, you know, blown away by the artistry and just the quality of performance and something completely new. And I hear that all the time from people now about, you know, talk about Mongolian singers and, you know, like Japanese drummers and, you know, things that just won't happen if the festival was not here. And just making sure that Savannah is part of the world and bringing that type of acts here.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the 2026 Savannah Music Festival, which runs from March 25th through April 5th. Jazz programming will feature Pat Metheny's Side Eye 3 Plus, Tord Gustafson Trio, John Schofield Trio, Julian Lodge Quartet featuring John Medeski, and more. More information and tickets can be found at www.savannahmusicfestival.org. The Savannah Philharmonic's Music of Empire Elgar's Enigma concert with the guest conductor Benjamin Manis is on Saturday, March 28th at 7:30 p.m. in the Lucas Theater for the Arts and features, in addition to Elgar's Enigma variations, the violist Philip Dukes performing Vaughan Williams' Flos Campi with the Savannah Philharmonic Chorus. More information and tickets are available at savannahphilharmonic.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for 4 centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am talking with Zanisha Sirik, the executive director, and Ryan McMakin, the artistic director of the Savannah Music Festival, about it's the 2026 Savannah Music Festival, which is from March 25th through April 5th at various locations around Savannah. And then we move on to Saturday, March 28th, and of course we have a noon 30 concert, and that noon 30 concert, Dirk and Amelia Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're lucky to keep them over for an extra day to give a daytime performance in case somebody's too busy Friday night before.
Yeah, because there's a lot going on.
Lots, yeah.
And of course that's again at the Kehoe Ironworks. Mm-hmm. And then we have some Global Roots programming.
Yeah, the Sarod Trilogy is Amjad Ali Khan and his two sons, and they actually just won a Grammy. They were on, the Dalai Lama did a spoken word album, and they were the musicians backing. And Amjad Ali Khan is turning 90 this year, and just excited to have them here, and they're playing at the Trustees Theater, so it'll be 3 Sarod and 2 tabla players, Indian classical music.
And even though that's at one of the bigger theaters, the Trustees Theater,
yeah, if you got a wristband,
it's still a wristband concert, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it's timed for a matinee, it's a 3 o'clock show. So there's nothing else competing with that.
And so you can catch that, and then you can catch the noon 30 program, and you can then go on and catch a program that's starting at 5 p.m., and that's the Yonder Mountain String Band.
Yeah, this will be their first time on the festival, but they've played Savannah, you know, a bunch. And they've really wanted to be part of SMF and specifically play at Ships of the Sea. So we're doing 2 concerts now at Ships, 5 and 8 o'clock that night.
And then back into Global Roots, there's the Latin Dance Party with Plena Libre.
Yeah, Plena Libre is a Puerto Rican favorite. Bamba and plena and some salsa music, so great dance music. And they have a really rich history as an ensemble. I'll be talking about that a little bit too, but I'm sure mostly just playing some dance music for us. And that night we'll have dance instructors too, so people can come 30 minutes prior and get some basic steps.
And also that evening is Thord Gustafson Trio. And this is a not-to-miss jazz performance.
Absolutely. Norwegian player with such an incredible palette also. He's very much out of the church. But there are some influences of that in his music. But yeah, he's an ECM artist, and just talk about lush and detailed sound. And we're excited to present them. I've heard about performances, and actually this will be my first time seeing the trio.
And because we have the Latin Dance Party at the Kehoe Ironworks, mm-hmm. this jazz performance will be at the Trinity United Methodist Church.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were talking about venues. Initially we had District 5 for the evening, but that it was just scheduling, we're not going to be down there that night. And they said, wait, do you have any churches you guys use? It turns out Savannah has quite a few. And so it's a great night to have that concert at Trinity.
Well, and we have then closing out that evening, if jazz at 7 p.m. is not of interest to you, but classical is at 7:30 p.m., is a return to symphonic concerts at the festival. And this is with the Savannah Philharmonic.
Yeah, it's the most interesting thing for me is that I actually started talking about this concert with the festival team back in 24, I believe.
October
24. At that time, I had no idea I'd be sitting on this side. Now, seeing this concert come together, so it's really a proud moment for me personally that I've seen the project, you know, kind of move through 2 years of being put together. I really, really am looking forward to this moment. I believe the last symphonic concert was back in 2019. We had a collaboration with the festival. I was on stage then playing as a concertmaster. And if you want some really trivia question, that was Case Harada's first concert in Savannah, and he was auditioning for the Philharmonic music director spot, and he got the job. So, you know, the funny thing is that that concert that we are doing now is going to be conducted by a candidate that is looking to succeed Kay, so maybe he gets lucky as Kay was. So Ben Manis is the conductor for the Philharmonic for that concert. And then most importantly for the festival is that our associate artistic director, Philip Dukes, will be featured as viola soloist in the first part of the program. So.
Yeah, work by Vaughan Williams.
Yes.
Great Vaughan Williams.
And that was Philip's choice. Very passionate about that piece. And he's looking forward to performing. I don't think he said he hasn't really played it in a while, so he's kind of coming back to that piece after some time. But that piece actually has a little chamber chorus, so you're gonna see, you know, a philharmonic and basically full force, and then, you know, best that we have to offer on our end and our associate director. So it's gonna be a very, very, very exciting and already sold out night. So,
well, and since you will probably then, if you don't have your tickets yet, you'll miss Philip Dukes on Saturday, March 28th. Mm-hmm. But you can catch him then with the first concert of his chamber music series at the festival, which is on Sunday, March 29th at 5 p.m. And this is Mendelssohn and Mercer.
Yeah, that's the program. It's such a great sort of pairing because, you know, we, of course, are on a mission of, you know, kind of bringing people in to see and hear things that they wouldn't necessarily come up with on their own. So I don't think that anyone would necessarily listen a Mendelssohn Octet and then put a CD or go on YouTube to listen to some Johnny Mercer songs, but we're actually going to do that. And, you know, we have a great collaboration with Simon Mulligan over the years, and he's going to be back for that concert actually as an arranger and performer doing those Johnny Mercer songs with an ensemble. So it's a great, you know, experience, I believe, for folks who are not expecting to be in the ballroom to begin with and then have a little drink before the Mendelssohn Octet, hang around, maybe have a dinner after the concert or whatnot. So there's many ways you can utilize that space, and therefore we were thinking about actually going to the Soto, a centrally located place. I'm sure that this is going to be a little, you know, taste of what is going to come in future collaborations with those type of venues.
Well, in this case, the classical music is at the Oglethorpe Ballroom of the DeSoto Hotel. So you can have Merlot with your Mendelssohn.
That's true.
Generally, yeah. If it was over at the Trinity United Methodist Church, that would not be a possibility.
You could probably have a Miller, too.
You could have a Miller.
Yeah. We've been doing these sort of kickoffs of the Philip Dukes and Friends series that are more of it's a full experience and social event, too. So, you know, if you're not ready to sit for a more lengthy chamber music-focused concert, which we have some of too, that are really heavyweight things. But this one, Mendelssohn Octet, is so accessible. It's like rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's, but, I mean, the last year, you know, the Mozart concert that opened the series was, you know, like people just flocked in there. And I think it was like looking for an extra chair to sit around. And I believe this concert will have the same sort of feel to it. Hopefully, you know, we meet the expectations and exceed them.
Well, it was interesting that a few weeks ago on the sister program of this program, and that is Evening Eclectic, I was talking to a jazz guitarist, and in referring to a particular work that we were talking about, he said, you know, this is sort of a John Scofield feel. I said, whoa, wait a second, because I know that John Scofield is going to be performing at the Savannah Music Festival, and that's also on Sunday night, March 29th. And this will be at the Kehoe Ironworks.
Yeah, this is, 6 years in the making or something to try to get John Scofield here. Timing worked this time around. So it's his trio, and most guitar players that play jazz emulate the man in some way or another and revere John Scofield. So it's a real treat to have him here at the festival. Yeah.
And I just wanted to point out to have Pat Metheny and John Scofield in the same festival.
Yeah.
It's just like an amazing opportunity for people to just like come and hear both concerts and just, you know, absolutely be blown away by two legends. Within 2 days.
So. Two legends of guitar.
Of guitar. And then 3 days later, we won't jump forward, but there's another pretty great jazz guitar player.
Exactly. But the next day, Monday, March 30th, and we're back to programming on Mondays. Monday was a holiday in the past, but it's back. We're back to programming on Mondays. And that is Daniel Donato's Cosmic Country. And also that's at Victory North.
Yeah, another guitar show, I swear. If you have anybody you know who's a guitar player, this is a great little mini, or good segment for them to come, because Daniel's a great player out of Nashville, has all the sort of Telecaster stuff going, but also, you know, jam band fans are really into his music too, so he crosses over quite a bit. Really good band. Yeah.
Well, and just remember, if you remember back to Thursday, March 26th, we have Alexandro Pinezzi,
yeah.
Another great guitar player, but this is a guitar player with a Brazilian style.
Yeah, Richard
and
Thompson.
And so just a little bit of extra. Oh, Richard Thompson.
I say, and you know, you come with your guitar bingo card, and you just kind of go through the concert after concert and just stamp those names as, I heard this guy, I heard that guy, and I heard this gal. So I think it's the way to go this festival around, and as we're gonna mention some other guitar players, this is a almost like a guitar fest this year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Then we move on to Tuesday, March 31st, and it begins at 12:30 with Reverie Road.
Yeah, Reverie Road, they're playing at 12:30 on Tuesday, March 31st, and 7 p.m. too, but it's an Irish ensemble, or really two founding members of Solus, fiddle player Winifred Horan and John Williams on accordion. John's wife is also an incredible fiddler who was in Gaelic Storm, and a great history there, and step dancer. And then they have an Indian raga pianist named Utsav Lala. He is a Steinway artist and really plays tastefully within Irish music. Yeah, it's a new ensemble for us, but with some returning members from Solus having played here.
And at 6 p.m. is the return of the Escher String Quartet. And there was a concert that, if I remember correctly, it was the Escher String Quartet that performed in a concert just after the pandemic. There was a collaboration between the Savannah Philharmonic and the Savannah Music Festival.
Yeah, when we did it at Landings, and at that point I was in dual role. I played the concert and I was part of the production team. And, you know, it was such a great experience. And the Escher String Quartet is just, you know, energetic and young group, and really, really brings a lot of passion to their playing. And I'm very much looking forward to this concert, because they always bring, you know, heavy repertoire in terms of, you know, being a staple of the string quartet repertoire, and you can't really imagine hearing these pieces performed better than by somebody like, you know, that stature. So we're looking forward to that, to that concert.
Yeah, and Philip plays on the second half too.
In the second half,
he's
yeah,
with them quite a bit.
And then we move on to Wednesday, April 1st, and at 11 a.m., which is early for classical music programming generally, but it is Sebastian Naur returns, and this time he returns with Bach and Sons at the Trinity United Methodist Church.
Yeah, it's a really interesting program of J.S. Bach, of course, and then two sons who were composers as well that Sebastian put together, and has... It's piano and string quintet. And Sebastian's a, you know, favorite of the festival, a great German pianist, and has been playing here for 20, maybe more years. So we're happy to have him back, and usually try to feature him on one of these programs. And lately it's been a daytime thing, but he has a good mix of things over the years. You know, there was the Mozart and Nyman project last year, the Hollywood composers kind of focus, so... this is really kind of at the heart of what he does and what he studied, so it'll be some heavy-duty playing.
And I had a pleasure actually playing with Sebastian.
Oh, you did?
At the festival.
Oh,
I think
yeah,
it was 2016.
At the Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny Holt was still at the helm of the Chamber Music Series, and we did a Mozart piano concerto. Yeah. It was conductorless, so it was quite an experience. Back then, you know, Sebastian is just an amazing, amazing pianist, and I love to have him back every year. And he has quite a following in Savannah, so people definitely like to see him come back and perform. So,
and this will be Bach and Sons.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the same night I alluded to earlier, but we have this just unbelievable guitarist, Julian Lage, in his quartet, and Julian has a great history with the festival, but has not played here, been quite, you know, since pre-pandemic. And this group is with John Medeski on organ and piano, and Kenny Wallace on drums, who has been here a lot lately too, played with Jenny Scheinman last year, has been here with Bill Frisell, and of course his biggest bass collaborator, Jorge Roeder. So this is great because it goes back to Jorge and Julian playing as a duo many, many years ago, and the growth of their collaboration to incorporate these two veterans, Medeski and Wallison. And so it's a really good... I think it maybe premiered at SF Jazz as part of Julian's residency there, because he was there doing five or six different projects last year. But we're lucky to have the quartet come in here.
Yeah, because I fell in love with Julian Lage and his playing when
yeah,
he was here at the Savannah Music Festival back pre-pandemic, and,
mm-hmm,
and have had to travel to see him. I've seen him many, many times. Certainly, I think every year, at least once every year. But it's great to have him back.
Now you don't have to travel again, so you can just stay home and we bring it to you.
Well, the truth be mentioned, I'll
you'll
probably see
him
elsewhere as well as here.
Yeah, you got to help us out here.
Well, there's all these stories about Julian because he was a teacher in the music seminar,
right,
and such a great instructor and mentor to a lot of young players. But one quick one is he was playing the acoustic music seminar finale called String Band Spectacular. So it was the end of the program. It was over at Lucas. And the guitarist for a Piedmont Blues project with Gerald Clayton got held up in an airport somewhere. And who can we get to fill this role? It's a trustee's next door. Wait, Julian. Julian Lage is next door. He could probably do it. So he came across the lane and you know, was just didn't have a rehearsal, but the sight reading for this really great program with Gerald Clayton. So very versatile player. I mean, the first time he played the festival, he was close to, he was probably close to 20.
Yeah.
Because he played with Mark O'Connor's Hot Swing Trio. So, yeah.
It almost sounded like you're going to say 12.
Yeah. Well, no, that's true. There's a Child Prodigy documentary about him.
Yes.
Anyway, can't say enough good things about him.
Thank you.
Well, and then that evening, in addition, we have another person who I believe back in the day when you had those celebratory concerts looking forward to the festival, I think Sierra Hall did one of those.
She did. I have a couple of friends who are now married who met that night. She played the opening Here's the Schedule concert, and Sierra, this is her full band, so she's got a five-piece band, and she's on a bill with John Craigie, who's a really unbelievable songwriter and great showman. I mean, really funny, good stories, everything else too. So it's a good mix of Sierra's kind of bluegrass-leaning pop stuff and very almost contemporary version of Dylan-esque kind of sound of in John Craigie. So there you go.
I got to tell you, there was a few board members that were kind of asking for Sierra Hall to be back, and then they which is great testament of how much people get involved with the festival, and especially if they're on our board, they're passionately, coming to the concerts and supporting us, and absolutely looking forward to experience these artists across several versions of their bands and just kind of follow their evolution, and every time they come back, they bring something new. So that's one of the missions for us to be able to do that.
And the timing is perfect because of the fact that you can catch Julia Lodge at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the Kehoe Ironworks, and then you can catch Sierra Hall at 7 p.m. at the Lucas, which is a short walk from one another.
Yes, absolutely. It could be your best Wednesday in a long time.
We've just gotten into the festival. I'm going to have you guys back if you can come.
Of course.
They love to be back.
Yes.
We'll sure find a moment to be back.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.